Almighty God, as we open your word this morning and seek to learn from you, we do ask that your Holy Spirit would come into this place and to teach us the full meaning of what you would have us know this day. That we would be changed from the people we were when we came in. That we'd be a step closer to the people that you want us to be. And that we would go from this place with a boldness and an encouragement to go where you would have us go, to do what you would have us do, and to say what you would have us say. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning's message will be a little different than something I would typically do or say up here. We have this one opportunity each year to have the last Sunday before a new year, and that's what this is. 2014 will be here before we meet here again, Lord willing. And, you know, those dates and days are things that people put on a calendar, put on paper for us to go by, right? And yet there is something to that. There is something to that opportunity, even if it's just mentally, to have a clean slate, to start things new. And boy, do we get a lot of input on the types of things that we should do to make our lives better. And I know, I talk a lot about advertising, I talk a lot about promotions they do in stores, because that's what I feel I'm part of what I'm fighting against when we gather on Sunday mornings, because there's just so much information and misinformation and promises that aren't true that you're just bombarded with on a regular basis. Buy this thing, you know, and your life will be better. Eat this thing and you'll lose 20 pounds. You know, pop this cap and beautiful women will appear out of nowhere. You know, just one thing after another. And the sad thing is we've gotten to a point where we don't believe promises in general because so many of them just aren't true. We accept, we're not even offended when we hear things. We just say, well, that's the way it works, right? That's just the way it is. That's the way advertising or whatever works. But church, there is truth. There still is truth. We don't hear as much of it as we should, but there still is truth. There's some truth in some advertising. There's still some integrity out there. But in here, there is complete and utter truth. In Christ, there is complete truth. Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so I've got some things here that I can promise you will make your life better. And it won't cost you any money. But the resolutions that I'm setting forth for Three Stones Church this year, more Bible, more prayer, more good, more training. And we're going to go through some Bible verses to talk about those things. More Bible, more prayer, more good, and more training and correction and reproof and teaching and all that stuff that goes in that verse. I'm going to start off with a very familiar verse, Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Or the way many of us learned it, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Right? That's a hard one for me to get out of the King James, as I learned that many, many years ago. And this is the Word of God. And I talk about this a lot because it's so very important that we have available to us the very Word of God. And we should not, must not take it for granted. One of the reasons, according to the Barna research, that people don't read the Bible is because they say they don't have enough time. And I could say to you, did you know that in about 15 minutes a day, you could read through the entire Bible in a year? But that's not the angle I want to take, because I don't want you rushing through something of such vital importance. It is true. You can do that. But I don't want to make it seem easy or cheap. Instead, what I want you to do is to understand the importance of spending time in the Word of God. Not how easily you can do it, but how important it is that you do do it. How vital it is that God has promises for you. God has instructions for you. His will for you. It's important. The begats, that section, they're important too. I don't know why. I don't. But they're important. Why? Because God said them and God ordained that they would be written down in His Word. And so while we may pay more attention to some sections than the other, some are more ripe for study, it's all important because it is the very Word of God. And this one verse says, I have taken your word inside me that I might not sin against you. We know that God detests sin. God knows that we're prone to sin, but He hates sin. We know that sin is what brought Jesus to the cross. Sin is what separates us from God. And yet He's giving us the antidote. Through His Son, we receive the forgiveness of sin, but in His Word, we get the instruction, the help, the direction, whatever it is that you may need to keep from sinning. If you've accepted Christ and if you are a believer, it should be important to you, it should be important to me not to sin. We slip up occasionally, but it should be important to us not to take lightly the act of Christ on the cross, which is what we do if we sin nonchalantly. We are taking lightly the act of Christ on the cross. Reading God's Word helps us take that more seriously. Reading God's Word helps prevent us from offending God. And here's the thing, if we don't fill our hearts with the good stuff, there's a lot of other stuff ready to rush in. You know, our hearts and our minds are like a vacuum. They will take in what's out there. If we don't take time to intentionally fill it with that which is good, it will become filled with something else, some of which appears good. So we have to intentionally take time in the Word of God to receive what He has to give us. And I wanted, part of me wants to jump up and down when I say that it's the Word of God. I mean, if you had a personal letter came to you in the mail and you weren't home and somebody called you and said, you just got a letter from, and name your favorite celebrity or name your favorite politician, name whoever that would be, don't laugh. If someone called you and said, they wrote you a letter, it's in their own handwriting and it's addressed to you, you would probably rush home to get that and read it. The Creator of the entire universe has written to you. He's written to you. These words have been given to all mankind, but there's words in here especially for you. We need to take the time to take that seriously, to spend time in God's Word, reading it, letting it move in us and change who we are. When we read something that's difficult, read it again. We read something that sounds too hard, read it again. Pray over it. If you read something you don't understand, find someone to talk to about it. You can call me. We have good Bible teachers in here. There's good commentaries that are out there, but find something to help you to understand. There's a way. God wants you to understand what He's saying. He doesn't want to be cryptic. He doesn't want to be misunderstood. Be careful if you Google it, because there's a lot of junk out there that will say anything about anything. But don't let it just go by. Dig in, and you'll find that you'll develop a hunger for His Word, because there is nothing as compelling. There's nothing ever written or said by man as compelling as what is in Scripture. The second verse that I want to mention comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray without ceasing. or pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we hear that, pray without ceasing, pray continually, however it is in whatever version of the Bible that you have, it means the same thing. It means to always be praying. And so sometimes we put that off because, we know we can't do that, right? If we imagine praying as being on our knees with our hands folded and our eyes closed, obviously then it doesn't mean to pray without ceasing, because how could we do that? We've got to eat, we've got to sleep, we've got to go to work. If that's how you define prayer, then that verse would not be true. That is one way to pray, and that is one type of praying. But prayer is communication between you and God. To pray without ceasing is to be ever aware of the presence of God in your life. Some of you have heard me use this little metaphor before, but I'll just use it again. If you were to get in a car with your wife to drive from here to California, at what point would you forget that she was in the car with you? The truth is that during that trip, during that long trip, there would be moments when you would talk about things. If you had that long time to spend, just the two of you together, moments you would discuss things that were very serious. Maybe your children, your finances, your future, you discuss things that were very serious and very heavy on your hearts. In some moments, you would talk about things that were funny and light. In some moments, you would point out the beautiful sunrise or sunset or the view of the mountains. Some moments, you would ride in silence, but still aware of who is there in the seat next to you. I believe when Paul said to pray without ceasing, this is exactly what he meant, to be ever aware of the presence of God in your life. And sometimes you are on your knees crying out to Him, lifting up those who are in desperate need, lifting up yourself if you're in desperate need, crying out to the great physician. And sometimes we're thanking God for His blessings. Sometimes the scriptures say we don't even know what to pray, so we just cry out. But we ought also be laughing with God, smiling at things that He shows us as we travel through life, experiencing life with Him, not pockets, not moments, not when we come someplace on a Sunday morning or sit down for a few minutes with a cup of coffee and our Bible. Those are precious, important moments. But we need to be aware constantly. God doesn't depart from us when we leave church. He is ever present in our lives. And so we need more Bible and we need more prayer. And we're starting some prayer groups and we're going to start something Sunday morning, going to start something Monday mornings and just whenever we can get groups of people together. But it said in the announcements, if you're called to pray for this church, I'd like to change that. There's no if. You have a responsibility to pray for the members of this church, for the mission of this church, for the leadership of this church. It is our responsibility to pray for one another. We are commanded to pray for one another. It's not an if, it's kind of more of a when. You may not be able to make one of those groups, and that's okay. But we are called to pray. And when we pray, when we communicate with God, we get to know Him a whole lot better. Just like when we communicate with anyone else. When you first meet someone, yes is yes, no is no. It's the words, right? It's what you hear. You ask a question, they give you an answer, and it's what you hear. But what the experts say is that 92% of all communication is nonverbal. And we know that the more we're around someone, we can tell things. The closer our relationship is with someone, we can tell things. What the nod of the head means. What the tone of voice means. We can tell things, right? We know sometimes when it's time to leave. You can tell so much. The more you know someone, it's more than just the words they say. And God paints those pictures for us to learn about our relationship with Him. The more we communicate with God, the more we understand what God has to say through His Word, through our experiences in life, as we discern things, that discernment becomes more clear. But that doesn't happen by chance. It happens when we intentionally spend time communicating with God on purpose and doing those things that remind us that He is ever present in our lives. The third thing, more Bible, more prayer, more good. Ephesians 2:8 is a very familiar verse. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Many of us know that verse, right? We are saved through faith, not by our works. Okay. But what's the next verse say? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Clearly, we do not achieve salvation through our own work. It is a gift of God. But the response to that gift is to do good. The response to that gift is to do good works prepared for us since the beginning of time. So God had a plan for people in 2014 to be treated well, to be loved in His name. And some of those people had your tag on them. Some of those people are marked out for you, for me. That's what it says, right? For we are God's workmanship. We've been saved through faith. And then God creates in us a new thing. He works something out in us, created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of doing good, which God prepared before any of this other stuff happened. Before you were born, God had a plan for you to do good for other people in His name. I hope that excites you. You know, you've been standing around that group at work somewhere, or a bunch of people have gathered to help somebody do something, and someone says, okay, what's the plan? No one seems to know what to do, or if there is a plan, right, to get something done. One of the most frustrating things in a work environment is to be standing around, knowing stuff needs to get done, but not knowing whether or not there's a plan. Well, church, there's a plan for you that God put in place before you were born. And as you spend time reading the Bible and in prayer, He will unveil that to you. And you will know as you travel through your daily day, work, home, neighborhood, school, that He is calling you into other people's lives to do good. There is a plan. God's ready for us to go to work. And I'm going to throw in Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we should be doing good, and we should be encouraging one another to do good. For God has a plan that He has put in place for us. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, bring this together. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. Church, God has specific things that He wants accomplished. There are people that need to be fed and clothed and brought into places to live, to hear about His Son. And we are an integral part. You are as an important part of that plan as anyone that has ever lived. There are people out there that need to hear from you, that need to receive from you. I was blessed last week to be able just to transfer a gift. It wasn't anything that came from me or our family, but part of it came from our church and part from another source to a family that had nothing on Christmas Eve. And we were able to give them, to enable them to go do some things. And they had spent the couple of days prior to that active at another church handing out food to families in need. You know, we can count up against people that have more than us, and there's a lot of stuff more than what we have. But if we will go to God with a heart that's cheerful to give, He will enable us to give. It may be a big check. It may be a cup of cold water. From the perspective of Christ, done in His name, it's not the size of the gift, it's the heart that gives it. Remember the widow that gave the 2 pennies? And Jesus said she gave more than anybody else. He wasn't counting the pennies. He was counting where they came from. I hope that we'll look at 2014 as an opportunity to come closer to God. Each of us as individuals, collectively as a church, as we learn more of the mission that God's calling Three Stones Church into, as we continue to act and be the hands and feet of Christ in this community, the voice of Christ in this community. But we have to be prepared to do that. And we are all called into the Word, into prayer, and into responding to the great gift of God by being good to others in the name of Jesus. You are completely capable. We are completely capable. Not of our own, not of our own strength, but of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. I hope and pray that each person here will take that seriously. Whatever else you have, if you do resolutions or don't do resolutions, whatever. But take seriously your life in Christ. Take seriously what He has done for you. Take seriously the work on the cross. And respond by listening to what He has to say to you. By spending time communicating with Him. And by spending time showing His love to those around you. Amen.